been chained. That's when you know you've been chained. Amen. Without a shadow of doubt, you know that you've been changed. Amen. Amen. No doubt in your mind. And the reason why we ought to know that we've been changed, because He loves us. All right, He loves us. He loves us in and through our mess. And loves us hopefully out of our mess. Amen. Nevertheless, He loves us. Amen. Giving all glory and honor to God, to associate ministers, doctors, Rose, to each and every one of you, deacons, deaconess, visitors, and friends. We are just here to say thank you to the Lord for another day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He has been good to us. He's watched over us and kept us. And if you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Psalms 27, as we continue to honor our heritage. Psalms 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat of my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. And though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The wars rise against me. In this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret places of the tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifice and joy in the tabernacle. And I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." Amen. We just want to talk to you for a few minutes from slavery to the White House. And I would love to take credit for that title, but I read it somewhere and it's stuck. And so, that good to do that. I have to give credit to whom credit is due. Nevertheless, I think this passage of scripture in Psalms 27 speaks volumes to where the psalmist had came from. God had put him. For those of you who may not know, there is a black man in the White House.
Amen.
Amen. And has been there going on his second term. So it wasn't a fluke that he got elected, but he got re-elected as well. And most of us still have to pitch ourselves, amen, to realize that there is a black man in the White House. If you talk to older people and even younger people, say that they never thought in their lifetime that they would ever see a black man in the White House that we constructed and built. Now we occupy. Amen? And so we need to understand that in all of that, we've come a long ways. However, we still have a long way to come. And so we need to understand that African Americans still have the highest unemployment rate. African Americans still shoulder the highest rate of foreclosures. African Americans still have the lowest median income. African Americans still have the highest rate of incarceration. We've come a long way, but we have a long ways yet to come. And so we need to understand that as we journey from slavery to freedom, to this freedom that we so rightly deserve, that we still have to rest and keep our faith and trust in the God who has brought us through. And since this is Black History Month, there's no time like now to pause and reflect on our journey when it began and where it has led us and where it still takes us. It has been a tough journey. It's been a bloody journey. It's been a challenging journey. And if we are to learn anything from our experience, the liberating knowledge is in the detail. The African-American journey began in Jamestown, Virginia in 1619 with the arrival of indentured servants. And from 1619, this is history. I'm giving you a little history lesson. Then I give you something to shout about. Amen. From 1619 to 1640, Africans could earn their freedom by working as laborers and artisans for the European settlers. But in 1640, Maryland became the first colony to institutionalize slavery. Massachusetts followed in 1641, making African workers chattel, which means they could be bought and sold by their master. In 1646 till 1770, slavery grew at an exponential rate and proportion. Most of the slaves were captured on the west coast of Africa, known as the Sudan, and that area was targeted because Africans on the west coast were known for their skill in agriculture, farming, and mining. The Africans of Guyana were also known for smelting and iron ore, and the Beans were famous for their cast iron work. Slaves were captured by white and black hunters and offered to African tribe to the European hunters to be bartered for weapons, glass, whiskey, and ivory.
Well,
you heard it. Blacks were selling out blacks in the name of capitalism. That don't sound much better than the thing. Amen. Let me move on. That wasn't on my notes. Amen. Tribal leaders saw an opportunity to improve their lifestyle at the expense of their black brothers and sisters. There was no skin loyalty among the tribe. In America, the rising demand for sugar, coffee, cotton, and tobacco created a scene and a demand for slaves. Other countries also competed for cheap labor, countries like Spain, France, the Dutch, and the English. The slave trade was so profitable that in 1642, the Royal African Company, chartered by Charles II of England, superseded any other trade because it was the richest shipper of human slaves to the mainland of America. In 1768, 53,000 slaves a year was being brought by ship to North American continent. In England, 23,000 were slaves from France, 11,000 from the Dutch, and 8,700 from Portuguese. Slaves have become now what is known as black gold.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'm not trying to make anybody feel uncomfortable. I'll just give you a brief history lesson. Amen? Now, if I'm wrong, Dr. Rhodes will correct me on these dates because he got that mind. He has several books on blacks in the Bible, so you need to get one of his books, and while he is here, let him sign it for you. Amen? Amen. And I won't ask for any royalties off of that. That was free of charge. Amen? Amen. So, but we need to, someone has said, if we don't know our history, we're doomed to repeat it. So this is why I wanted to share this with you. And as children, even in younger ages, and kids now can't understand when they see on TV slaves happy and singing, that was generally not the case. Most slaves were not happy and singing because they were too tired from Cairo. Now, I grew up in the South, in Texas, and they raised cotton. And I remember Cairo was so long you couldn't even see the end. You could be on this end, you couldn't see where the road to the cotton ended, amen? And I was so happy when my mother told me, because there were people out there picking cotton, picking 100 pounds before lunch, and I couldn't get 100 pounds all day. My mother said, "You wasting your time and a man's time." I was so happy. I said, "I'd do anything really to go back to that cotton field, because I'll put cotton, bowls, dirt, and anything else I can try to get 100 pounds." people that were picking 100 pounds before lunch. I said, no, this is not my, that's another reason that I left Texas. Amen? Many slaves ran off into the woods in the vast wilderness of undeveloped America, countryside, and called themselves maroons because they were stuck with thick forests, and they were forced to live on fruit and hunted animals for food. Some married into segments of the Native American population and became known as Black Indians. But Psalms 27 says that God is our strength of our life, and we need not be afraid. The spiritual strength is only the explanation of how millions of slaves endured the whip, the noose, the chain for so many years. The Lord is their life and salvation. They trusted in due season that he would deliver. God promised that the enemies of the slave would stumble and fall. And this fall began in 1800 when slaves in Virginia attempted a revolt to 1857 when slavery and freedom were hanging in the balance. The rest of the history, President Lincoln stated, America is on a long, tedious journey toward the equality for every man in America, and it is a journey that we all are still on today. Abraham Lincoln is credited for freeing the slave, but if you read what he said, if there was any other way I could preserve the Union, amen. He didn't do it because he was so happy. He was trying to save the Union. And so if there's any other way he could have saved it other than freeing slaves, he would have done it. But something has changed in the American community, and particularly in the African-American community. The affliction that caused us to turn our heart toward the God of the Psalms 27 has become less painful. Like the Israelites who turn away from God during a time of plenty, our spiritual life are growing dim. Our plight as African Americans has grown a bit more tolerable, and the life of the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 and 4, we have forsaken our first love. All right. Dare we forsake God who has been so good to us? Those of you who are here today will agree with me that delivering God praise is well deserved. God has brought us through dangers, toils, and snares. He has brought us through the taskmaster's whip and Jim Crow water hoses. He has brought us through long hours of toil, long days of marching. He has brought us through no education, to poor education, to miseducation, and we still stand. And yet he has not forsaken us. And with a slow and steady hand, God has liberated the African American by steady intervention in all the ways and in all directions, even to the White House. Psalms 27 says, I will sing praises unto the Lord. But where are the thongs of African American who should be expressing adoration for their deliverance? Maybe, many of them have left their first love because they believe that democracy has made us free. Maybe they have left their first love because they caught the old disease of complacency. Maybe they have left their first love because they have become convinced that they have outgrown God. There's a brother that I know, very qualified, very intelligence. He says, and I talked to him about God. He said, "You my pastor?" I said, "Yeah, how am I your pastor?" I said, "You say you don't even need God or believe in God. I can't pass the heathens." And he looks at me like I'm strange every time he sees me. But I just tell him, I cannot tell you that I'm your pastor when you don't believe in the God that I'm serving. That's a contradiction in terms. How can you pastor somebody going in the direction opposite of you? Amen? Whatever the cause may be, a lot of singing has ceased. Our praise and our people are growing far too bright, too quiet. We're living in a state that is doing everything they can to destroy humanity. And we may not understand it, but if we look at it, I was looking at a program last night, and the guy was talking about the drugs. Yeah, everything was legal now. And my wife and I were sitting there, honey. Everything was legal. Hash was legal, drugs was legal. About said and smoked marijuana openly. Prostitution was legal. That's the only thing that's not legal in Washington. Everything is. And they haven't been able to figure out how to regulate that. It will be legal next. Amen. Honey, you're supposed to help me with this. Between when life is rolling out along good until we reach the struggle. Are we willing to kindle the deep relationship with God when we are crying out for Him? And we are. But what of the praise He deserves for our past deliverance? Hide not thy face from me, and put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help in ages past. You've been our hope for years to come. When the tide of hatred thickens against us, and as the threatened do every day against President Obama and you, where do we turn? If not to God, when the Vox media slanders the black first president, and the news cartoonists make mockery of our cultural leaders, God will hear the cry of people, but where? Why have we abandoned Him? On this Black History Sunday celebration, we're preaching to the faithful remnant. You are charged to go home and start the fire among your family members. Memorize the stories of the living that we may tell it to generations yet to come. Remind them of the victories that we have achieved by the hand of God and petition them to come to worship the Lord for His goodness. Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer, and He shall strengthen thy heart. We waited on the Lord, and He did strengthen our heart, and now He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to eat the bread that satisfies the hungry soul. He's waiting on us to drink from the fountain that will never run dry. He's waiting on us to carry the staff of redemption into a mean and unfriendly world. He's waiting on us to walk in the light of illumination and out of darkness. We are not going to change Washington State simply by talking. But God has given us a solution. He said, if my people will humble themselves and pray, if we get our act together, not the world. The world's not going to change the world, because the snake can't change the snake. It takes a snake tamer to change the snake. He's waiting on us to acknowledge that His love isn't eternal. He's expecting us to recognize the fact of the song that His grace is sufficient. For grace woke us up this morning. Grace started us on our way. It was grace that put our food on our table. I don't care how it had to you are. I don't care how much learning you have. If you don't know that God is, and that God is a provider, that God has made a way out of no way, if you excel to the top of your field, it's not about you. And there's some people that are more educated than you are. Under bridges. There are people that have more ability than you are that strung out on drugs. Why? God's grace. You recognize that it was nobody but Jesus. And whenever you get in contact with the King and you become a King's child, then all you have to understand is that you're going to get some benefits from being a King child. Prince William, when he come over here, they roll out the red carpet. Nothing to do with him, just who he belonged to. And so when trials come our way, tribulations come our way, hard times come our way, we can find deliverance, not because of us, but because of who we belong to. Yeah. But we have to open our mouth. I heard the young people are leading praise this morning, and they were doing such a good job, but there was some that was just sitting looking. And the only thing I can say, if God hasn't did anything for you, you need to sit and look. But I would like to have a conversation with you, because I know God has done something for you. I know that God, because by the very basis that you sing here this morning, we ought to lift our voices to pray, because God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. How many people have been in trouble and didn't look like you're going to get out of it, but all of a sudden God showed up, and when God shows up, God is able to regenerate your soul. He's able to solve your doubts, reinforce your testimony, reshape your thinking, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You know why some people can't get beyond the door? Because of their stinking thinking.
All right, so then.
You know why some people come to church and leave mad? Because of their stinking thinking. All right. They come to church expecting me and you to make them happy. They ought to come to church looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I don't care what you do when you come to church, but I'm not trying to satisfy you. I'm trying to lift up the name of Jesus, because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. That's where the power is. The power is in the name of Jesus. And the only way you can get that power is every now and then have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trouble. He'll hear your faintest cry and he'll answer. And every now and then that little wheel start turning and you start getting happy. Don't know why you're happy. It's all because of Jesus. All because of the resurrected Savior who hung, bled, and died. Hallelujah. Let your history be as that of the Apostle Paul. I'll let nothing steal my praise. I don't care whether I got a nickel or a million, I'm going to still praise him. Because he is worthy to be praised. Well, Pastor, you just don't know he's still worthy. Amen. I got some problems with it. Try praising him. Because, see, we look at ourselves and we throw ourselves a pity party of how bad stuff is to us. But if we would just stop for a minute, the songwriter said, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you.
Amen.
what the Lord has done. Amen. God is still blessing. And if you want to get from where you are to your White House in salvation, which is heaven, where shall I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hallelujah. We want to go to heaven. How many of us want to go to heaven?
Amen.
How many of you ready to go right now? The hands are going back. Amen. I got some slots for today. Did I call him up and say, here's a... How many made hands went up? All of them would have wanted to go, but how many of them ready to go right now? Amen. Amen. So as we... be prepared to reach our White House. We may not ever get to the White House. Amen. A couple of weeks ago we went to Washington D.C. We was all excited about getting to the White House and it would not work with our skill. But we did go to the Capitol. But I said, you know, one day the doors are going to swing open. Amen. And whether I've been to the White House or not, I know I got a home. High above the White House. I got a home in glory because God said I'm going to prepare a place for you. Not just a place, he said in my Father's house. So if it's in his house, that means that's in our dad's house. Amen? Because we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ, right? So we got a right to a mansion too. Amen? So we today need to make sure that we remember where we came from, where we are. But more importantly, we need to know who brought us. And we need to praise him. Amen? It's alright to come and look cute with your nice hats on and your pretty suits on. But you still need to praise God. Amen? Amen? There's not about a couple people with hats on, so I may have picked on y'all, but that's alright. But y'all need to praise him anyhow. Whether you have a hat on or not, we just praise God for who he is. And not only for who he is, but for what he's done for you. And if you think he's not done for you, just really sit and reflect, honestly reflect, on what he did for us individually as well as collectively. God's been good to us. Amen? He's been real good to us. He brought us from slavery through the 60s. Amen? Because when he signed that piece of paper, he didn't do anything but make people mad. Amen? We have a president who looks like us. Amen. Look like most of us. So we thank God for that. But also, when he was elected, he just made people mad. But we today need to understand that our salvation is not in the president. Our salvation is not in the Senate. It's not in the Congress. Our salvation is in the church house. And it's not really in the church house. It's who the church represents. And that's Christ Jesus. Amen? So put your faith in Christ. Wake up. Give him the glory. Be proud of who you are. Be proud of why you are what you are. And if that's nothing but the grace of God. This morning, we extend to you an opportunity to remember from where God has brought you in your journey. Whether that be 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And if you're not giving him the praise, now is the time for you can give him the praise by surrendering your heart and your life, giving back to him what he so freely shared to you. Let us stand. You may come by letter. You may come by Christian spirit. God is able to do anything but fail.